And then, you know, you had to like log in to like see the price and all that. So I did that. And I was trying to talk Tony into, I think that's what it was, right? I was trying to talk you into calling them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to talk him into calling them. I'm like, come on, you can call them. Like, you know, trying to talk him into them. And my phone rings.
Welcome to Off the Beaten Path, but Not Lost.
With Tony,
Kristen,
Kylie, and Lexi.
Join us on this RV full-time living journey
across the beautiful United States.
Where the fail was.
Hello and welcome to episode 121.
Today we're going to be talking about all the events that we went through, getting rid of our old Jeep and buying our new one.
Yeah, we had to jump through a few extra hoops because of this lifestyle. So we figured we'd put together this episode. It's not one of our happy, joyful episodes, but everything ended up in a good spot at the end. But this lifestyle is very, and when I say lifestyle, I mean like RV lifestyle, is very complicated sometimes. And it's not all like mountains and
waterfalls and rainbows.
Yeah. There are some issues that happen. And I think we've done one other podcast where it's like all the things that have went wrong with the RV. And then now this one. So we don't give you very many downer episodes, but we think it's important to at least tell you when these things happen and tell you how we handled them, because, you know, we have to do things a little different with this lifestyle. You can get the show notes for this episode at thefailas.com/121. If there's anything we talk about that you're interested in, you can find it there.
Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Failas.
And the kids are skipping this episode. This isn't something they really care to talk about.
And if you're listening now and haven't heard what happened, just a quick recap. Mid-April, we were exploring Death Valley. I had actually just ran out to do some errands, get some gas, and pick up a couple simple groceries. And before I could make it there, our old Jeep broke down.
Sadly, on the side of the road in Death Valley, which is the hottest and driest place in the country, on a long straight road. It was like an image out of a movie.
Yeah.
He took a picture and sent it to us. And it's like the Jeep sitting there with the hood up, and there's mountains behind them on this long stretch road.
And there's heat waves, vultures circling.
Yeah, like all the things that can possibly happen.
So that was a major change of plans for us. After we got all that stuff figured out, got the Jeep towed.
Yeah, we towed it back to the RV.
Yeah, and then we decided to make a decision where we were going to go from there. So we ended up back in Yuma, which we talked about in a different podcast. That started a whole new challenge of a little bit more of difficulties trying to navigate this whole situation.
Yeah, so we had to tow the vehicle. Thank goodness we had a Class A.
Yeah.
And we towed the Jeep, because we were able to tow the Jeep. If it was like our main vehicle, we would have to have the vehicle and our fifth wheel or whatever,
yeah,
camper towed back.
Which we've seen before, you know, obviously we've seen that happen. We've seen tow trucks towing truck.
Yeah.
And then another vehicle towing the trailer or fifth wheel.
But we would have had to have them tow it all the way back to Yuma. That would have been crazy. We would have had to make a different decision probably.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been a totally different scenario.
Mm-hmm. So in this situation, we were able to tow our Jeep back to Yuma, and we went back to our favorite campground there that we stay at and parked the Jeep.
Yep.
And then in the next few days, our favorite mechanic that lives there,
yep,
came over and picked it up with his trailer, which was so nice. I know that that's not always something that you can find.
Yeah.
So we were so thankful for that.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, before he came and picked it up, he did come over maybe the day after or 2 days after we had got there. He did come over on a break. He just hooked up his scanner. He wanted to see if there was something to just try to diagnose it. And he didn't get much information from that. So then he decided to come get it, with his trailer.
So then he had that for a couple days because he had a couple of Jeeps before us.
He did have, he had other work. But when we'd called him, when we were still in Death Valley, I called him and said, hey, we're having this major breakdown. And he said, yes, if you're coming this way, I can squeeze you in and I can, we can figure it out.
So we waited for him to check it out. When he checked it out, he called us and said, I really think, I mean, I do see there's a problem with the timing belt and, you know, a couple of things or whatever, but I really think this is a transmission issue.
Yeah.
And he was like pretty confident that it was that issue. So we ended up calling around. This is super hard to do when you have no vehicle, you have no way of, and you don't know the area that
That's
well.
What I was going to say is like, for me, when we lived in Michigan, had a house, I worked in town, I had all kinds of connections. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an awesome mechanic, had a really big shop, and he would always like do the best work super fast and super cheap. And we were always super happy, you know. And we had family and friends that we referred to him as well. Like your parents probably still use him. But so that was easy. Like if we ever had
and
a car
he had
trouble.
Like, he had like a big shop and he did everything.
Yeah.
Like all the things. Yeah.
So yeah, if we ever had any type of vehicle trouble, we just called Chris and boom, it was done. So there was that comfort to that. And there was the convenience factor. And plus, if there's something that he couldn't do, he knew people. And, you know, through my work, I knew other people who could do other things. So I always had somebody that I could call.
And it's a lot popular of an area.
Like, and I didn't have to worry about towing it 400 miles.
Yeah. I mean, we could easily get to 20 different shops probably in 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of our house.
Yep.
And we had multiple vehicles.
Yep.
So we didn't need to worry about like not having a vehicle at all. Plus we had friends, we had family. When you live in a house, you make friends with your neighbors, like all the things that we could count on. And we had a garage. So
like, exactly. And I had a garage full of tools and I had, that's just one comparison. Brandon and Yuma, our mechanic in Yuma, great guy, super nice. Love taking my stuff to him.
We'll continue taking our new Jeep to him.
Yep. But he's the only guy I know there.
Yeah.
So that makes it. And I can't expect him to drop everything and work on my stuff when I'm broke down.
And the other thing is, like, he was so nice to come get the Jeep and tow it there. But, like, he didn't have to do that. We're going to get into more details here. But that was, like, a huge relief because we would have had to tow it there with the Jeep or the RV.
Yeah.
And he lives kind of in a situation that would have been really hard to do.
Yeah, his shop is in like a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's not that
easy.
You
can't back up with the Jeep hooked up. So that was the other issue we had with the RV. So anyways, he finally got a chance to look at it. It was just a couple days. I think 2 days.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. So he ended up looking at it. He said that he really thinks it's the transmission. So then we called around and looked for transmission places. And this is when it got complicated again, because most places couldn't get us in for a couple weeks, which at our house and at like a neighbor you live, this would have been no big deal.
Yeah,
I mean, it would have sucked, but we could have went 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently in Yuma, every transmission shop is busy.
I don't know with what.
We called.
Especially when it's 100 degrees. Who's in Yuma?
I don't know. I called at least 6 transmission shops just for a diagnosis. I was getting a 10 to 14 day quote just to get it in.
Yeah, and we talk about this a little later as one of our you know, things we've learned from this, but we did not have the luxury of time. Yeah. It was literally 100 degrees in Yuma. Way too hot for our comfort style. We had plans. You know, we're starting to look at our schedule and trying to say like, okay, what do we cut off?
Yeah.
Because we had to drive out of our way back here. You know, we planned on going to Canada still. And of course, these are all things we could like cut out, but we didn't want to. So we did not have the luxury of time.
Yeah.
So 10 days was a big deal to us.
And normally, like if it was January, we could have stayed 14 days at our RV park and then went out for a week and boondocked, no problem. We just can't boondock. I can't. Yeah. I don't know about you guys, I mean, but boondock when it's 100 degrees.
Yeah, this sounds like we're kind of, you know, like, of course we could have if we had to. People do it all the time. But it would have been, we would have been very uncomfortable. So we had planned on staying in Yuma for the 2 weeks, and then we were going to leave there with just the RV.
Yeah, we were going to shoot over to
Palm Springs.
Palm Springs, yep.
And then we were going to come back to Yuma after the week. That would have been very hard because I don't know where our Jeep would have been in the meantime.
Yeah.
I don't know if we bought that far into it.
It was either going to be with Brandon the mechanic or at a transmission shop.
Yeah. Yeah, we would not have been able to take it with us because it was not moving.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we can't just tow it around dead.
Mm-hmm. So we ended up finding a place. Of course, they were able to get us in, and of course, they were the most expensive.
Yeah.
It was like, what, $180 or something?
Yeah, it was $185 for the diagnostic. It was a dealership, the Jeep dealer in town, one of the Jeep dealers in town. But they were able to get it in very quick. They did have it like a whole day doing stuff to it. But, yeah.
Yeah.
We got the bad phone call at the end of the day.
So now, just to kind of give you a recap, we're about, I don't know, a week in at this point,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So a week into our 2 week stay.
Yep.
I feel like we're more than that.
It was about 1 week, I think. Okay. Give or take a day.
Because we were pushing our limit. I know that. So we'll say a week. Okay. And we got the call that it was going to cost, well, we called around and found some transmission deals. So it was going to cost anywhere from five.
Yep.
Because that's like bare minimum. That was used parts. Five to like $7,000 or $8,000.
Yep.
So
the dealership was over $7,000. Yeah.
Yeah. So we thought back and forth and I'm like, I was kind of okay with doing it. I really love that Jeep so much. So I was kind of okay with doing it. But at the same time, there was a couple other things that were acting up on it, like our ABS light.
Yep.
And it wouldn't let us use Cruise. And I'm like, there's a couple other issues that probably are going to cost some money too. Let's just look around and see if we can find a new Jeep. And Tony was like completely against getting it fixed. He 100% wanted a new Jeep, like at that point. He didn't feel comfortable with his whole family in it.
And my argument for that is we are intentional about going off the beaten path and getting out into the middle of nowhere and adventuring, and we're usually alone. So we, like, reliability for me is a must. The old Jeep was starting to get to the point. It had just passed over 100,000 miles. It had that, like you said, the ABS light. We've put money into that trying to fix it. Several different things.
Yeah.
Trying to fix it. And that generation of Jeep is like a rabbit hole by itself. You just
I actually don't want to talk about the things we put into the Jeep because it's quite depressing.
Yeah. It's like, you just throw money at a bunch of different things with hoping to fix it. Then we were starting to have the engine issue, which was a timing chain, which is not that big of a deal, but it's just one of those things. Like, we'd had several oil leaks fixed. So it was getting to that point where, is it worth keeping around and just continuously putting money into it? And then in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, how much am I going to trust this thing from here on out?
Yeah, that was a big one. Like, I was actually willing to still do it, but I was also looking at a Starlink to go on the Jeep.
Yeah.
So that we would have signal everywhere we were at so we could call for help. So I didn't have confidence in it. I just love that Jeep.
You were just thinking of scenarios, what we could do to, get help. In case we just kept it and broke down in the middle of nowhere.
Yep. So anyways, we started looking. Tony was on his computer. I was on mine. We were going back and forth, like throwing
Yeah, we were messaging Jeeps each other. Jeep links all over the place. California, Arizona.
Yeah. We actually found some really good options in California, but then we realized we'd have to pay California taxes.
Yeah.
And we're like, I don't know if that's worth
it. Yeah, and the few quotes that we got on the Jeeps that we really liked, it just added on so much money, thousands of dollars.
Just the pain of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so mind you, like, the whole process we're going to have to do, like, I'm just giving you a little starter or a little sample of what we'd have to do. We're going to have to tow this vehicle to this dealership, too. So we couldn't go too far away from where we were. Mm-hmm. So some of these, like, dealerships in California, we were a little nervous about anyways because was like, what if we get like in a situation where it's too tight and we mm-hmm. can't, because we can't back up at all. We can't take the Jeep off.
And before I could, if I got into that situation, which I have a couple times in trying to turn around or getting into gas stations, I just unhook the Jeep, move it, and then get the RV into a different spot and then hook the Jeep back up. Well, in this case, you can't.
Yeah.
I'd have to push it because it wouldn't move under its own power. So that was causing a major issue.
So we ended up finding this one that was actually pretty cool. It was silver. We liked it. I had a feeling, though, that it was like a rental because it yeah. came from Hawaii. And it was a rental, to be honest. Like, and then they sold it. But the dealership would not let us keep our tires. And
yeah, I basically had one condition for all these different places that we called. My condition was I need to keep the wheels and tires off of the old Jeep. You know, you can do an even swap with whatever you have put on my Jeep because it's all interchangeable because the tires, the wheels aren't that big of a deal, but the tires are almost brand new. And it's a very expensive set of tires. It's like my favorite set of tires that I keep buying over and over probably 10-year period. So we always had really good luck with them. They wear really nice. They're awesome off-road, in the snow, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to keep those. I didn't want to have to go and do that over again.
Yeah, because we had just bought them
yeah.
this summer
yeah,
when we were August. In Michigan.
Yeah. Yep. So that was my condition. I would tell everybody, you know, I have this and this and this. We would tell them the issue with the Jeep. So yeah, that was my condition.
So this Jeep place with the silver Jeep was like, no, we can't swap the tires. And I was like, what? Like, didn't even ask, like, let me go ask my boss. No.
Yeah.
I was like,
and that was like probably our most serious inquiry towards a newer vehicle.
Yeah.
And it's not like we were making the demand, like, you have to switch the tires. I mean,
we kind of were, but we hadn't got to that point yet.
But it was more of a, we really like to keep our old wheels and tires.
Yeah. Especially on that one, it was like, stop, like, grandpa tires.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
So after that person said no, I'm a big loyalty person or like customer service person. I will pay extra. I will go overboard. We'll go out of our way just to get that like extra customer service. I love yeah. that. And it's so rare nowadays. It's so rare. Something happened, you know, like after 2020.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, we don't have to respect people anymore. And it's just so painful dealing with people now. But after that happened, I was like, you know what? I've always wanted a green Jeep. I'm obsessed with green lately. I don't know if you've seen any of our pictures from an RV, but we have the new couch that's green, mm-hmm. the curtains that's green. It's just my thing right now. I love green. And I've always loved the natural looking color Jeeps, like the tan, the green.
Well, like our old JK was a non-metallic gray.
Yeah.
So it was more like a, you know, like a gunmetal or whatever. It was mm-hmm. called Anvil, but it's kind of a gun. Everybody that I talked to would be like, oh, you have that gunmetal Jeep. Yes.
So after the one was like a big no, I was like, you know what? Let's just look and see if there's any green Jeeps.
Yeah, because we were kind of filtering. We like filtered out all the wild colors, like the yellow and the red. You don't like red. I don't mind. I don't mind most colors, but we didn't really want a black one. We didn't really want a red one or like the yellow. We did find a cool one that was like a neon green. But
is that the blue one?
No, the green one.
Oh, that one was not. I did not like that one.
Yeah, you did. We liked that one, but
we liked it.
But it was a California one, and when we got talking to them about price and all that stuff, they tacked on like $3,000 in California taxes. So we're like, nah, forget it.
We did find one in California that was like super cheap. Do you remember that? And you're like, I don't want that because that's too cheap.
Yeah.
Something's like, wrong with that.
Too good to be true.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we started filtering. We did happen to, we came across one of those Sarge green ones somewhere else, but we kind of just glazed over it. We're like, oh, that's cool color. But it wasn't like the right Jeep for us. So that's kind of like after that other experience, we're like, let's go back and see what we can find in that green.
Mm-hmm. So then we got very specific because we were pulling up tons of Jeeps and it was kind of like a lot. So we ended up looking very specifically for Sarge Green. And when we did that, we pulled up one of those, like, I don't know what those sites are called, but where they all dealerships put their cars on the site.
Like an Auto Trader.
Yeah, but it wasn't Auto Trader. It was like a different kind.
Different one, yeah.
And I saw this Jeep on there, and it was, like, brand new, I think. Like, he might have just put it up, honestly. And it was nice. I liked it. I was looking at it. And then, you know, you had to, like, log in to, like, see the price and all that. So I did that. And I was trying to talk Tony into, I think that's what it was, right? I was trying to talk you into calling them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to talk him into calling him. I'm like, come on, you can call him. Like, you know, trying to talk him into him. And my phone rings. And I get a message, or I get a call from Jacob Hill, who is the salesperson at Camelback Kia for the Sarge Green. I mean, it was like perfect timing. So then I answer it, and it's him. And so I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I was literally trying to get my husband to just call you. So yeah, we ended up talking to him. Super cool guy. So here's the thing. Remember what I was just saying just a few minutes ago, how I will go out of my way for that good customer service and, like, loyalty. This guy was totally that. Like,
yeah.
Super nice guy. And I know he's just a sales guy. I absolutely 100% know that.
Yeah.
But that's okay, right? Like, I expect to be sold. I'm okay with that. But I don't want to, like, leave the place and feel like I made a bad decision and feel like...
You, do, like you never want to second remorse, guess it. Yeah.
Or, you know, feel like you need to take a shower because you're just totally scammed.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like that. And this guy, like, made me want the vehicle. And, like, when I left there, I was like, I got a good deal.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't get a good deal, I feel like I got a good deal because he did a great job at it.
Yep, exactly. It was the whole experience was worth whatever we paid.
Yep, exactly.
But, yeah, and that's another note. The original dealership that had diagnosed the transmission problem, they offered us a $9,000 trade-in towards one of their Jeeps because they're a Jeep dealer. They had several there. We did look at one. We actually test drove one from them. It was a little older. It was newer than ours, but it was the same JK model, but it was a Rubicon. It had all kinds of stuff done to it, and it was a low-mileage vehicle, but it had its own issues. And their price on that was way high,
yeah,
even compared to much newer Jeeps. So we
I think we got our Jeep cheaper
than
their Jeep.
Yeah, yeah, we absolutely did.
And it was like an older one. So. But one thing that was cool about that is he did bring it to us for us. So that was so nice. I do love that he did bring that over to us.
And that was Chapman Jeep in Yuma. They were great to work with. They were their service department was good. And like I said, the sales guy, he was good. It just, that wasn't the right Jeep for us.
Yeah, it was just priced a little too high for what it was.
Yeah.
But they offered us $9,000 trade-in. So then
in its current condition, not moving, running, not driving.
Yes. So then we went to the silver Jeep that we mentioned earlier, and she was like, no, we can give you $7,000 sight unseen or whatever. That's it.
Yep.
But then when we found our Sarge Green one, we were talking to him, and we told him, like, we were offered $9,000 from the original, and he's like, well, if you can get it in writing, I can match it. And then come to find out, like, he ended up going to his boss and whatever, and, like, he's like, we already got you a price, and ended up getting, like, beating the price, and he didn't need the writing anymore. So that was cool, so we didn't have to worry about that. We could have got it, but it was nice to not have to worry about it.
Yeah, that was very quick. Like, I feel like he got off the phone with us at some point after we just initially were talking about it. And then the next time you talked to him, he said, as far as the trade-in, don't worry about it. We'll just give you $9,000. Like, it was no big deal.
It was to the point where, because I was the only one talking to him, and he was, like, just agreeing to everything. Yeah, you can have the tires. Yeah, you can do this. Yeah, you can. Tony's like, is this real? Like, is this going on?
I feel like this is turning into a bait and switch, maybe. Like, I don't know. It was going way too smooth.
And see, this is the bad thing, too, is, like, in a normal situation, if we had a house, if we had all these things, this wouldn't have been, like, such a scary thing because we could just drive there, figure it out, whatever.
And not a rushed thing.
Yeah. You know? But in our situation, we're rushing. We literally have no luxury of time here. We are finding a Jeep. We can't just wait. We need to find it, like, today because now we're on, like, we're into our second week.
Yeah.
we have to leave.
We've already used Instacart once.
Yeah. Yeah, we've never used Instacart to have our groceries delivered because Tony just goes and gets them.
Yeah.
We had to have Instacart deliver our groceries. I mean, things were getting rough. It was getting rough here. Luckily, the people that were, like, making the deal with us didn't know how desperate we were.
Yeah.
Because they may have upcharged us a little bit. But But either way, we ended up making this great deal with him. We were happy with everything. But the problem is we had to tow the RV or tow the Jeep.
Yeah, we had to go get the Jeep from the dealership with the RV.
Yep, because they still had it.
Yeah, we brought it back home. And then the next day, we had to drive to Phoenix.
Yes, but before we drove to Phoenix, we had to remove all of our stuff off of it.
Well, that's another thing that we asked them. I said, hey, we have a few things like our winch and a couple of other things in the Jeep that we'd like to keep. And he's like, yeah, no problem.
But it was like things like our Vector bar, stuff like that. Like
with our phone holder. Yeah, like custom phone holders.
Yeah, so we were going to remove all that stuff.
Yep.
We also had a like a harness bar for the girls, which we love. And it's not going to, none of that stuff is going to fit in the new one. So we had to rebuy all the stuff, which we'll get to in a minute.
And our Midland radio.
But we still wanted it so that we could sell it. Which, by the way, if you are interested in any of these parts,
they'll be available in November.
Yeah, we have them in our Yuma storage unit. They will be for sale, except for the bumper that we just had to throw away. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, so Tony had to go get the Jeep. In the morning, we went with the RV, got the Jeep, brought it back to the RV park, and he had to spend all day. Friday, right? Wasn't it Friday?
Yep.
All day Friday, removing everything off the Jeep. And then Saturday, we went to Phoenix. We drove it 176 miles or whatever it is.
To the dealer.
I mean, they were so cool, though. We literally pulled up into their dealership and unhooked the Jeep, and then they all pushed it.
Yeah.
It was, I wish I would have got a video of it. Did not get a video of it, but I wish I would have. There was like five guys pushing MT into the back. It was sad.
Did we ever look on the security camera?
No.
I wonder if we have it on there.
Has it been too long?
I don't think so. Well, when we're done with this, we can look.
Yeah, we'll look and see. But either way, it was sad to see it being pushed. I got emotional. The girls got emotional. I mean, I'm pretty sure the girls might have teared up a little bit. But anyways, we went through that whole process, got the new Jeep. They switched our tires for us. They also took our tow bar off for us, which was super nice.
I had actually intended on doing that before they took it back, which I could have done it in about 15 minutes because it was literally 8 bolts. And I had all the tools set up ready to go right in the, like, the passenger side of the Jeep. So I was just going to hop out, undo the bolts, take the tow bar brackets off, and then be done with it. But they ended up just doing it for us.
Yeah, and they switched our tires, which was great. Everything was good there. Oh, we should mention that we had to get a new thing from Discount Tire.
On the way to the dealership, we stopped at a Discount Tire, picked up some new lug nuts so that our old wheels would fit the new Jeep because the lug nuts were different.
But we had to do that with the Jeeps on the RV. I mean, it was such a process. It was so crazy.
And you got to factor in all the things, all the spots where you can turn around, because you can't back up.
It's a lot more stressful than normal towing.
Yeah, we called ahead everywhere. Everywhere we went, we had to call ahead to make sure that we could get in and out.
So then after we purchased the Jeep, which we'll talk about a little bit for RV-specific things here next, but before that, I had to drive home because the tow bar was different, and we didn't get the tow. One thing we did a little wrong was after we knew we were getting a JL, we should have started buying the parts.
Yeah.
That we were going to need, like the tow bar, for example. We could have had it ready, which would have been nice. But either way, I drove separate back to Yuma. Then we had a new Jeep, which is crazy.
Yeah. At least you drove home with cruise control.
Yes, which was nice. I had cruise control. But a couple things about the having RV living specific issues we ran into. And that was, the first one was we had to get proof of address because it wasn't like a actual address. It was coming up with issues like when they were trying to run it through. Apparently because of since 9/11, they've had to do this, which is crazy because I don't remember it happening with our other Jeep, but we did buy it from like a little family dealer. So maybe that's why. But because we don't have an actual address for security reasons, they have to like prove that that's an actual address.
Yeah.
So we had to do that, which that wasn't a big deal because that is actually our mailing address. All of our mail goes there. So we were able to get that. Vehicle registration, we actually haven't registered our vehicle yet.
I looked into it today. I did. Oh, okay. I did call because we're escapees members in Texas. Our address is in Polk County, so you have to call the Polk County tax office. They actually handle all the DMV stuff, and I got some information from there. I got the website, and on the website, there's a packet that walks you through the process of purchasing a vehicle out of state. So you fill out everything, and then you just send them the form. The title is a different issue because we bought it in Arizona. They are a title-holding state, so we wanted to transfer the plates, so they had to put, like, the lien holder information on. The lien holder has that, and then they're going to send that to the Texas DMV.
So how is that going to work just because Texas is a title holding too, right?
They send it to them.
Is that going to be an issue?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I did
we'll
find
let you
out.
Know on the next few podcasts.
So let's say, because I think at this point right now, we have about 2 weeks to register it because we have a 30-day window.
Is it 30?
It is 30.
So even though they Arizona, gave us a 90?
Arizona gives you 90 days. They give you a 90-day temporary plate. Texas requires you to register it within 30. If you don't, every month is a $25 late fee. So,
oh my God, get on that. Good thing you called on it. We didn't just count on the 90 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a whole process there for registering the vehicle out of state. Normally, well, some counties in Texas require a vehicle inspection. Luckily, like when we register or when we renew our registration, there's just a box that you check that says it's out of state, so you don't have to worry about that. But they do require you to have it inspected when you return to the state, if it's been...
But they're stopping that.
They will be, but right as of right now, they still do.
Oh, okay.
So that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, the registration part, we're handling that in the next few days, so...
We'll that's see. Your job it tomorrow.
It doesn't really matter, like, tomorrow or 3 days.
So one thing which will be interesting is our plate we're transferring, so we'll be able to just put our plate on. However, what about the registration sticker? It's going to be mailed to our address.
They'll mail it to our escapee's address, and then we just have to have it sent to us.
So that is our story on how we got the new Jeep and all of the struggles. It's a little bit different than how things would be handled if we had a house and we had to sacrifice a little bit. Like, we may have found a better deal, or we may have found a different Jeep, or we may have been able to take all of the parts off, including our lift.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, if we would have had the luxury of time, of friends, family, extra vehicles, if we would have had the luxury of a garage to put all of our stuff in, you know, all of those things could have happened. Another thing is we took all those parts off the Jeep and we literally had to just put them right into our storage unit because we had 3 days now.
Yeah, I had them listed for sale for less than a week. I actually did sell one thing.
What did you sell again?
The grab handles. Oh. We had some nice grab handles.
The cheapest things.
Yeah, the $25 sale.
That being said, we're hoping when we go back in November, Yuma is a very popular place at that time of the year.
Yeah,
especially for off-roaders.
Jeepers and stuff.
So hopefully we can sell the rest of that stuff and make a little of the money back.
Yep.
Because we literally had to buy the exact same thing. We bought a brand new Vector Bar, paid the same price we just paid for the other one. And I think we just got that this summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like June.
And so we had to buy another one.
Yeah, the Vector Bar, the Harness Bar.
The Harness Bar we bought just...
Probably January.
Yeah, because we did that here. We had to buy a new tow
bar. Yeah, the tow bar brackets.
We had to buy a new bumper, which was okay because we were ready for a different kind of bumper style anyways. And we were able to use our same winch, which is cool. But all the rest of the stuff, we literally had to just rebuy the same things, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah. We bought the exact same thing, but for the new model, because, of course, none of it's interchangeable.
And I don't even know why we did this. Probably because I was, like, nagging you to do it. But we had just bought new decals with our logo on it and everything. And we bought a new one for the Jeep. And I literally had you do it when it was broken down.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? I mean, at this point, we thought we still were fixing it. So
yeah, it was We didn't know it was a transmission at that point. We thought it was something else, something less than $7,000.
Yeah, but I had him fix it while we were here. If you would have just procrastinated a little bit longer like you normally do, we would have been good. So it kind of worked out, though, because we're coming back to Vegas. And instead of going to California and then back to Yuma, we decided to just head toward Vegas now, because now we could just move because we had everything
we wanted
needed
to get our northern journey back into gear.
Yeah.
So
so we decided to come to Vegas, and since we were here, we got all our new decals, which we get at Signorama on what road is that on?
I think it's on Eastern Avenue.
Yeah. I'll link them in the show notes. They're great to work with. I highly recommend them as well. And it was funny because I was like, I feel a little Groundhog Day-ish because we rebought the Jeep sticker, and then we had to rebuy the Jeep on all the other decals because our Jeep and our logo is silver, and I had to change it to green. I have not changed it on our website yet, but I will. I will. So anyways, we had to sacrifice a little bit. We didn't have the time. We had to move a little faster, and we probably didn't get the best deal or do, like, you know, maybe we could have fixed the other Jeep if we had more time to work with. But these are things.
Or, if we had a garage, we could have just put that broken one in the garage
and
had a project vehicle.
Yeah, the kids would have loved it. But these are things you have to do when you live this lifestyle. You have to be a little bit more flexible and willing to spend. Either, you have to be willing to spend a little bit more money to get things done quicker, which is sad. Like, it's, even with the RV, if the RV was to break down, we have people that we follow on Instagram. They had a big issue with their RV, and they had to have, like, an Airbnb for a month or something, That would be so awful. And so you would make sacrifices to get things done quicker.
Yep.
It was super sad to leave the Jeep.
Especially the last few moments. Like, Jacob actually let us drive back to the service bay so everybody could say goodbye to the old Jeep.
I mean, that tells you, like, normally you're super excited to get a new Jeep, and we were happy to get a new Jeep. I have no, like, complaints. I love this new Jeep, but there was a lot of good memories and MT,
sure.
And I'm sad.
And there's a lot of MT stuff all over the place, like our pictures. Like, we have a rotating slideshow on our TV screensaver that's,
and
like,
it's sad.
Half of them are like Jeep pictures.
It's sad to see it, like, when it comes up, it's like tear.
Yeah. Especially since we were just getting it to really where we really loved it, like with modifications, lift, and all the things.
That's the one thing we haven't bought yet for Dante is a lift, and that's happening hopefully this winter.
Yep. We've already got stuff lined up for that.
With our awesome mechanic.
Yep. And we've, the first Jeep, it actually took us a couple years to get that lift and do all that stuff. But now that we've done it and we know the advantages and, the benefit of having a lifted Jeep for the stuff that we do, this is like we can't wait more than 6 months for that.
Yeah. I can't wait at all. I will say that while it's super sad to leave the old one, it is a lot more comforting to know that we have a good Jeep now that we can count on to go to all these, like, remote places that we go to, all these off-road trails that we go to.
Yep.
To have the security of having something that's running. And it has cooler features.
This one has,
JL.
Like, an SOS button.
Yeah. It is a JL. It has the newer features. I don't know if the SOS works without
I don't think
OnStar,
so.
But... But the Starlink would if we got that still.
Yep.
But it does have some cooler features in it, which we're happy to move up from the JK to the JL. If you're a Jeep person, you know.
Yep.
I'm happy. Like, some things, like, like the cruise on the way home, I was like, oh, what's this? Cruise control. Haven't had that in a while. And then on top of that, there's, like, this cool, like, if you have a newer car, you probably all have this. This is, like, fancy for me. But it tells you, like, what your mileage is. It has this little, like, green bar.
It's like a fuel economy meter.
Yeah. And I, like, treated it as, like, a game. I was trying to make it full the whole way. So I would slow down and get to, like, the perfect speed so that it was, like, full. It was funny because Tony would be, like, gone. I'm like, oh, shoot. I guess 60 on a highway is not a good idea. Maybe I should go faster.
And I don't speed in the RV.
Yes, but my green bar was full, I just have to point out. So after our Jeep breakdown, episode. That was episode 119, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. After episode 119, we were a little depressed. Our Jeep had just broke down, and we just had our plans changed and all of that. And Tico from That Discomfort Zone sent us a great message, encouraging message about RV life.
And as a full-time RVer, their family, they start to understand, you know, plans do change. You have to be flexible. But he's very, very supportive of decisions that we make and very encouraging.
Yeah, let's just play his episode. It was really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, plus they have I think they have a Class C.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
They have a Class C, and they have a Jeep. Yeah, so kind of connected us.
Hey, folks. How's it going? This is Tico. Just finished the last episode, and as always, congrats. Your content is so inspires us a lot, and hearing from real people that deal with real stuff sometimes, you know, like this life is great, but there is some challenges. As you have, we did have some too. We have a Jeep. A Jeep is causing some troubles. Sometimes it is what it is. But we are supposed to go to Palm Springs from Cottonwood, Arizona to Palm Springs next. But we just realized how warm it is getting here and there too. So we just canceled the whole thing through Joshua Tree in the desert of California to go north to Colorado and Utah for the month of May. And although Joshua Tree is my favorite place, and I would love to take Pearl and Denise there, we have to postpone this probably to the fall, for the winter. So it's a good thing being flexible. Also, sometimes you get sad that you don't going to do what you should do in the first place, but that's the beauty. The flexibility allows you to go some other places and just skip that for a moment, you know? So, yeah, you guys are amazing. Keep doing the good work there. We love your content. See ya. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you so much. And by the way, I'm guessing that you are questioning your decision about moving north, because I've seen some photo, or maybe you're not questioning, yeah. I don't know, but I've seen some of your reels and photos, and it's pretty snowy where you are.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have went a little slower.
Yeah, there is a such thing as going north too quick.
Yeah, but no, I completely get why you guys decided not to do Joshua Tree. 100 degrees down here. It is so hot.
Yeah.
We're in Vegas right now, and it is, what's the temperature here?
It was 97 today.
Yeah. So hot. And when you're in an RV, it just, the air is running all day. It's loud. It's obnoxious. And it's just like.
RVs are built like microwaves.
No, but when you do get to go to Joshua Tree, your family is going to love it so much. Pearl is going to love crawling all over those rocks at Joshua Tree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our kids are obsessed with that. So I can't wait for them to go and see it. But where you headed looks just as amazing. It's still just as cool.
I'll be honest with you. I would much rather have cold weather and snow. As long as we're not traveling, if we're just there, I would much rather have the cold weather than the extremely hot weather.
Yeah, you can always put more clothes on.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, thanks for keeping it positive for us. We always, when you're in those situations, it's easy to just be down. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. As long as you keep a positive mindset.
And look at the positive things that come with it. You know, you get to see something else, and you still get to see the thing that you wanted to see before. It's just at a different time. Listen, we would love to hear your stories. If there's vehicle challenges, if you were broken down in the middle of the desert somewhere, if you're a full-time RVer and you had to like do this kind of situation, how you handled it, or just your challenges in general. Not that we like to hear you have challenges, but
we like to hear the solutions.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that other people have issues in this lifestyle too, that it's not all perfect.
Yeah.
So send them our way. You can send them, if you go to the show notes of this page, which is thefailas.com/121, there will be a message button in the post. You can leave it there. You can send us an email at hi@thefailas.com. You can DM us on any of our channels, especially Instagram @thefailas. And please, please subscribe to our podcast. If you like hearing our stuff, subscribe, leave us a review, and let us know how much you like it by giving us a 5-star.
And that's a wrap.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.